What I would love to have is I heard about alcoholic root beer. I want to try it.
No, it's the same company that makes the ginger ale also makes root beer, not your father's root beer, and that stuff is delicious.
I wish you could send me one.
I would happily send you like a six pack. I made a
what is crap?
You're crap.
You guys, you're supposed to start at, you know, 3 o'clock and I hop on here and you're already going at it. What is this?
Yes.
Yeah. We are early birds.
15 minutes is on time.
15 minutes, my ass. 15 minutes is all time. 15 minutes is early. Do I need to remind you of my union contract?
It's the reverse.
Wait, you're not already?
Yes, I don't screw around. Straight to the union.
do you have in America have that academic quarter hour? Like everything in my university, everything starts 15 minutes after it's scheduled. It's like it's tradition.
What? That is so weird.
At my college, no, this is contemporary. Nothing started. Nothing started for a minimum of 10 minutes after the bell.
But in university, this is no normal, and it's called contemporary. Like everything is.
I don't know if we'd call it contemporary. My professor has always called it stragglers.
Yeah.
That's why we did it. It was for the stragglers.
I don't know what world you guys were raised in, but like, if you're told to be somewhere at like 5 o'clock, you're either there at 5 o'clock on time or technically on time is 15 minutes early.
Like, well, not if you're an academic. Obviously.
Hey, for the record, all you mother cluckers told me to be here at 3, and I was here at 2:58. So that's on time by Storm Griffin standards.
Fair enough. So this is episode 1 of the Bird Life Podcast. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I am Chirpalicious.
No, you're Storm.
No, you're Storm.
I'm actually Storm Griffin. Chirpalicious is just my stage name on the weekends.
Stage name. He means street name on the corners. Anyways, yeah. Fleeks, what I was saying was the Not Your Father's Root Beer, I actually made a root beer float with that, with like vanilla ice cream.
Oh.
Oh my god, that was amazing. It was an adult root beer float.
Not your father's root beer. That's decent stuff. It's not the best I've had, but it's pretty good. It packs a punch.
What do you think about Krabby Spicy Ginger Beer?
Krabby Spicy Ginger Beer. Well, ginger beer is hit and miss for me. Some ginger beer is tasty. Others taste kind of like I would imagine a dog piss would. So most of the time, I'll be honest with you, that sounds appealing. I would try it at least. But I wonder how it smells.
It's not a bitch beer. Ginger. It's not a bitch beer at all. It's like overpoweringly ginger beer.
And that's what I love on it.
Fleeks is self-abusive.
If it's overpowering, then I probably would like it. Because if it packs a punch, I tend to like it more than the sissy beers where, you know, they smell like they're going to be great, but you take a swig of them and it's like, what the hell is this?
And the Krabby's is with alcohol. Yeah, that's pretty good. But
I was going to say, speaking of beers, what did everybody bring with them today? What'd you bring to class?
I have a Schillinger Pils. Das Schillinger kleine Feine aus Bayern.
I didn't understand a goddamn thing he said.
I know, because I spoke German. But on the it's very fitting. on the on the neck of the bottle, there's a label, and there is written "Think Global, Drink Regional." Regional.
I don't. Am I the only one in this room that doesn't understand what the hell a shilling a beer is?
Shilling a pills.
Yeah, it's the name.
Oh, okay. I thought you were telling me like how much you were drinking or something. Because that ain't helping me.
Yeah, and it has a subtitle: the small fraggle from Bavaria.
Nice.
Well, I am bringing Olifant beer from the Olifant Brewing Company. They're a little microbrewery in Somerset, Wisconsin. And this is batch number 7, and that's my favorite batch out of the 14 batches they make.
I've had some of Olifant before, and it is, I don't know, I feel like really wimpy now, but that stuff, I don't like it. Oh,
Olifant is a strong beer, right?
Their other batches are very strong. This batch, number 7, is actually quite sweet. So it's a nice twist on their beer. And I actually can drink it, which should tell you something, because I couldn't stand everything else they made.
with me, I've got Sam Adams, and I've got their seasonal Oktoberfest. And I've had this stuff before, and it is delicious. Just cracking.
You know what my favorite beer is?
Hmm.
You know the Saugatuck Brewing Company? And they have a very, very delicious... a homebrew with maple and it's a blueberry maple stout. It's just called blueberry maple stout. I just looked up if it has any special name, but yeah, it's just the blueberry maple stout from Saugatuck Brewing Company, however you pronounce that.
Saugat? I have no idea. I'm not even going to try. How's your week going? What have you been up to?
I was lazy most of the time. And prepared for university.
I've been planning for Berdanian world domination while simultaneously having to deal with never-ending nest repairs. It's been a challenge. So tell us, what did you do this past week, our lord?
I mostly slept. Which, contrary to everything I say, I do actually sleep occasionally.
No.
I never catch you sleeping. I always, whenever I write to you in Telegram or something, I always catch you not sleeping.
I generally work the swing to graveyard shift, so I'm never actually like awake at normal people hours, normal American people hours.
Well, no. Core, you work pretty much the same hours as me.
What hours? So, like, when is that?
Well, I know this because we go to bed at the same time. I typically start working sometime between 3 p.m. and 9, and I get home from work sometime between 2 a.m. and 4. So we're up around the same time.
Actually, yeah, so about the same. Ah, nightlife, bro. We're not early birds.
Yeah, I'm not an early bird either, but university like forces me to stand up early. But most of the time, I have a sleeping rhythmus like the Americans, but in Germany, you know.
So, what are you going to school for right now?
Yeah, I am studying biology and chemistry, and in the end, I will become a high school teacher.
Right on.
It's called Gymnasium in Germany, Gymnasium, but yeah, it makes Tom laugh. So it's pretty equivalent to your to the high school in America, but you visited from the fifth grade on.
Yeah,
right
on. We took our high school and we split it up. That's why we have junior high, which we now call middle school because, you know, why not? But there was a time, and in many small towns in the U.S., it's still the case where you'll go right from elementary school to high school because it's so small that they just put everything in one building.
So the subjects you're going to be teaching in high school are biology and chemistry as well?
Yeah, and I plan to add some math to that.
So you're going to teach him how to make meth. Okay, good. This German education's good stuff.
Well, with my chemistry knowledge, I could. Theoretically, I could do that.
Oh my god, we're turning into Breaking Bad, Birdania edition.
Yeah. Hey, come on, come on. It's if you know how it works, it is so damn easy to make some of the drugs.
Oh, of course.
It's really an easy thing to do. You can do it in your kitchen, theoretically.
Here on Bird Life, we do not advocate the use of drugs, but we'll talk about it a lot.
Hey, that's that comment was purely educational.
Absolutely.
But now, if you happen to live
so
in an area
us,
where...
How do you make meth, Fleeks? What compounds do you mix together?
I don't
purely
really know.
Purely for educational purposes.
No. I don't could... need to be shut down just yet. Good lord.
Hey, you can read it on Wikipedia, so...
Hey, when I went to college, and I'm actually still going to college, by the way, but when I went to college to get my associates in the chemistry lab, there literally was a poster on the wall that said how not to make some meth and step-by-step directions.
That's good.
Right on.
Yeah.
I cannot say that our chemistry courses are as comprehensive where I'm at.
Yeah, I have the university. I have the university courses, so yeah, we're doing a bit more, I think.
Sorry, I was just saying, so weirdly enough, like Utah is actually probably one of the biggest meth producers in the United States.
Well, you got to figure out how to survive somehow when you live in the land of the
that. so it's one of the biggest meth producers in the world. It would explain the Mormons.
Unfortunately, not. No, so we have two freeways that actually connect like completely different sides of the country. We have one freeway that is north-south, goes from Canada all the way down to Tijuana, Mexico, passes right through Utah. And then another one that goes all the way from California to New York, also passing right through Utah. So there's a big industry of just transportation right there already going through Utah. And one job site I used to work at was we had these roving like U-Haul trucks, these big trucks with just empty backs, like generally used for moving, or like RVs. And they would stop occasionally outside my location at work, and they would drop off like beer bottles or gas cans, except like you don't want to touch those because they were full of meth byproduct. So we just took to calling them the meth fairies because they were dropping off meth.
Well, is this the government doing it, or is these private consumers dropping off?
No, these were roving meth vans.
Oh my.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all
so you're saying instead of so you're saying Breaking Bad should have been filmed in Utah instead because it'd have been more accurate.
I love how you guys pronounce Utah. It sounds so, as if you would.
That's how it's pronounced.
But it sounds funny.
Yeah, Utah. Let me tell you.
Utah is a crazy
ass place. I have had friends go through Utah. And the Mormons have that place run so interestingly that there are places in Utah that if you go and you are not Mormon, you will be run out of town.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't put it to that extreme, but no, there are some very LDS, prominently LDS. They will make you feel unwelcome. They won't run you out of town. They'll just ostracize you.
Last year, my friend was going through Utah, went to one of your small towns. I'll have to look up the name of it. But he started being followed around by a black SUV from LDS security. And he finally pulled into a gas station and asked the gas station attendant, why am I being followed by this black SUV? And she said, well, it's because you're not welcome here. The minute you leave town, they'll stop following you.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of half-built houses in Utah because Utah has a property tax exemption, and that if you are building a house or remodeling, you get a break on your property taxes until the project is done. So what a lot of these Mormons will do is they'll build, you know, a 27-room house, but they won't finish one room. So it's permanently, quote-unquote, under construction.
The basement. It's generally the basement. The basements here are never completed.
Why?
That's because exactly why he said.
It's an interesting little fact. Just the things you learn when you travel.
These are generally small town like incidents where he's hearing about that. You if you're in the Salt Lake area or Orem or Provo area, like bigger city areas, you don't get any of this weirdness that he's talking about. He's talking about the little itty bitty teeny tiny towns. And I really am curious to know what town your friend was going through, because that sounds way over the top.
I will look it up.
Cool.
We have towns or villages like that in Bavaria too, where if you move there, I think you can go there as guest, but if you live there, and especially if you live there and you're like you have a like Southlandish, you know what I mean? You have a light skin taint or something, then yeah, they would come and wreck your house and stuff. That's
what? What?
Yeah, I don't know. That's like the Hitlerjugend there is still there or something. I don't know.
In certain parts of Germany, are you still talking about Utah?
No, I'm talking. I never was in Utah, so I can't.
Okay.
So I can't.
We actually do get quite a good number of like German visitors like during the ski season, because we have Snowbird, because we have so many amazing ski resorts, and they really are awesome.
I love your national parks in Utah. Arches National Park is my favorite.
When I'm actually on like ski resorts and skiing and stuff, like we'll have a lot of German like people visiting. Well, like Australians too. Australians and Germans are the number one visitors of Utah. But like I'll be chilling next to like a German person as we're riding up the ski lift, and they'll be talking about like their time here in Utah, and they'll always pronounce it Utah. I just love this country, Utah. Like this is an amazing, amazing mountainside here in Utah. I'm like, oh, you're precious.
I will just pronounce it Utah.
Like, that's because you've got professionals. Well, by the way, I got the name of that city for you. The name of the city is called Hilldale.
Hilldale, okay.
Hilldale, well, Utah.
That sounds
according
like...
According to the census, it has 2,726 souls.
Souls.
That village or town or whatever it is, it really sounds like something you should avoid.
Oh, no, I know exactly. Hey, that place your friend was going through was an FLDS, Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints colony, and that is the one like city area where the whole polygamy thing is still going on. It's actually a hate group. Like, your friend was traveling through a hate group town. That is not a representative of Utah at all. Holy crap. We want that city buried and dead.
Well, good luck, because it's still alive and kicking, even though it's a small population, but ooh.
No, they're just a massive hate group here in Utah. And they're at the very, very southern border, like on the border of, which state is that? I forget. I don't even know. On the border of Arizona and Utah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of bleed over into Arizona, into Colorado City, which is also very North Arizona.
Oh, God.
Yep. So there you go.
How is it possible that colonies like that, even that they can even be, like, I guess in Germany they would have been already raided by the police or something, because that really sounds like they make their own rules. And
oh, they pretty much do.
They have been raided by the police. The problem is, you know, when you see on TV the police show up and arrest all these little kids and, you know, the 15 wives and 37 men, it does not make for good public relations. So they end up taking a more hands-off approach, and the mentality is, if you don't mess with us, we don't mess with you. Because the last time they broke up a Mormon polygamous sect was in Texas about, was 5-6 years ago, and that had a lot of backlash from it.
Yeah, what happened is, like, the remaining amount scattered like cockroaches and formed new colonies.
Pretty much.
So it's easier to, like, constrict them into one little area, one nice tight little package, and just don't let them out. But there is still, like, in that area, there's the occasional kidnapping where people get, like, abducted into that colony.
That's exactly the argument they bringing on when it goes for Nazi parties in Germany. Like, if we concentrate them on one party, then we can control them easier.
It would just be easier to drop a bomb and kill them all at once. I did not just say that. No. BirdLife does not advocate killing people in mass.
That was just a speculation and a possibility, and yeah.
Exactly.
There was no plan.
It's because the bird filters accidentally turned off. Blame Fleeks. He hit the button. As a result, you're hearing what we really mean to say. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
We're not dropping bombs on anything, I promise.
No, just bird poop. Only bird poop. But going back to...
I make a poop joke counter now.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Now, let's see. When I'm going to school, let me ask you a question, Fleeks. When I go to university over here, and whenever it's testing day, what happens is a significant portion of the American student population at my campus decides the best way to study is to stay up for basically 1 to 2 days straight, cramming as much bullshit as they can into their brain, and then they show up and either have a stress-induced panic attack and collapse in the classroom in front of me, or they collapse from lack of sleep in the classroom in front of me, and as such, we have an ambulance coming to campus every 20 minutes or so. Do you have similar problems?
Well, I have almost no sleep for 2 weeks before I have exams. So, I'm not collapsing. My best learning time is overnight. So my caffeine pills are my best friend in that time.
Ooh, that's not good for you.
My methodology is usually somewhat similar. So, like, I'll put something off to the last, like, 2 days, and then the 2 days before the actual, like, exam or test or, like, time that is supposed to be turned in, I'll absolutely cram everything into one big pile. I'm really good at bullshitting at this point. Like, I really am. And then I'll just do a mass study session for, like, you know, the night before the test itself. I'll get a full night's sleep. I'll wake up. I'll make sure I get a full breakfast, drink lots of water, and, like, you know, proceed through the day healthy, but the night before I'll have crammed the shit out of my head.
If I cannot get a full night's sleep before a test, even if it's an exam that I have been studying and known the material for weeks and weeks and weeks now, I don't care how much I know the material, I'm going to bomb that exam. I need my sleep. I'm turning it into an old fart griffin, and that just is what it is.
We're not 18, 19 anymore. We got to do this.
That's right. Not all of us can be as young as Fleeks.
What's your major, Storm?
Right now, I have an associate's degree in information technology support and administration, and I am going to be going for a mixture of PC and network administration with an emphasis on security since, you know, everything and their mother gets hacked these days. So,
heck yes.
Got to kind of do what you got to do.
It ain't going to stop either. There's always going to be someone just coming up with a new, like, way to enter a system they're not supposed to. It really comes down to, like, live internet information, like, security at this point. Like, you have to actively be there to stop an attack.
Pretty much. Just like, you know, I'm not sure if you know this, Core, but Fleeks, maybe you heard this. A significant proportion of the U.S. internet infrastructure went down yesterday for a few hour period due to a attack on one of our major DNS servers. So it wasn't so much the websites were being hacked. It's just whenever you go and type in, you know, yahoo.com, it goes to a DNS server to translate Yahoo into the IP address that it's supposed to be. And if it can't access that DNS server, nothing works. So for the most of the regular population who aren't geeks,
Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, everything was down for a good number of people across the United States.
Yep. Oh my. And we've also had cases where our infrastructure has been attacked at night. A few weeks ago, T-Mobile, their entire nationwide network went down for 2 hours between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m. And they've been very quiet about it, but there's rumors online as to it being a possible cyber attack. Other carriers such as AT&T and Verizon also experienced suspicious network infrastructure problems around the same time. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're living in a time where it's a never-ending attack. It's just one attack to another. This is how it happens.
And just like with physical, like to be present, you need physical security, and you kind of need that online now as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
mean, even the bird chat, we've begun to deploy very aggressive and intelligent bird bots that we use to thoroughly remove the bird poop and boot out the bird imitators.
That's true.
To invade.
Exactly true.
Oh, I can remember that yesterday the Telegram was off for a few seconds too.
What is amazing is the AI abilities we've actually implemented into the bird chat itself. So, like, you have people like, what's his name, Federkex online, and nobody would suspect that he was a bot at all. But truth be told, like, he's interacting with you to test, like, seeing what you're doing. And if certain algorithms pop up, like, in his programming, he's going to boot you from chat.
So we are spreading the rumor now that Federkex is a bot. Parrots, you can trust them.
Parrots, you can trust. Said no one. Also, in other interesting bot news, we've just started rolling out BirdBot 3.0 in the bird chat. This bird bot is very good at anticipating bird moods and adjusting the background music of our two main chat rooms to better suit the mood. Unfortunately for the After Dark chat, it got stuck on Barry White all night long, and I can assure you our coders are working on it.
Yeah, it's true. And that's actually what you might have tuned into was I was actually tuning the BirdBot chat. And right now, for some reason, the main chat actually seems to be stuck on the hustle, which is... God. In fact, let me actually get it pulled up right now. Yeah, so that's exactly what everybody's hearing in bird chat right now. And I can't get it to stop.
Who is the genius that wrote this damn code? I'm telling you. We
gotta find these people. Alien, actually.
Alien. Well, there's no wonder we're having problems. Oh, God. I got to keep drinking more alcohol. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
I'm actually running out of beer already, and I'm kind of sad.
Yeah, me too.
I see. I made sure I brought a 1-quart bottle. I was prepared for this shit. I'm a professional.
I just this is my last bottle in the entire house, so my alcoholism is going to start kicking in soon. Like I'm going to need to like go out and get a whole bunch more.
Just charge to the Bird Chat credit card.
Oh, I wish.
Hey, the last High Council meeting, every bird in the chat agreed to donate $100 a second to fund our operations.
A second?
Hey, that's right. So that way we can keep our plans for Birdanian world domination in check.
Yes.
Now, Fleeks.
Yeah?
Being an outsider, let me ask you, what has been your take on the coverage of the U.S. shit show that is the presidential election?
Oh, episode one, we're jumping into politics? No!
Oh, no! Okay, I just can say you really shouldn't vote Trump. But
oh, no, no. I noticed. I phrased it the coverage.
Pretty high, and like everywhere, Trump is pretty hated, except by the right-wing parties. They yeah, that's the best that could happen and stuff, you know.
The best part of waking up is Donald Trump in your cup.
Oh, no.
No.
Please, no. I'm not saying Hillary's any better, but please, God, no, not Trump.
I have to say everything is better than Trump.
I was actually telling a friend yesterday that I'm not going to vote in this year's election. I'm not, because, one, Trump is not politically viable in any way whatsoever. He's just a joke. Hillary, right, though, is a criminal whose charges just keep getting stacked up on top of her, but no one actually acknowledges it, but she's a huge, massive criminal at this point.
But what we're faced with, what's sad, we got a country of 310 million people.
Right? My political stance is I'm going to go back to church and pray to Jesus.
The bird Jesus. The bird Jesus, yes. In call we trust. But we got a country of 310 million people. It is sad that this is the two finest representations our population had to produce. But honestly, when you're picking between Donald Trump or Hillary, it boils down to, do you pick the devil you know or the devil you don't? Because they both are terrible in their own way. So it's just the devil you know or the devil you don't.
Isn't that the same argument we had with Obama last re-election?
Well, it depends what party you were in. Because if you were in the Democratic Party, he was very well liked for the most part, though if not,
granted,
not even liberal enough. That's been the common frustration many Democrats have.
I would still wish that Bernie Sanders had made it.
Aww. Bernie Sanders, yes, Bernie.
He's so cute. Come on, he's like a nice uncle or something. I don't know.
The bird that actually showed up on his podium was sent by the bird crew as our blessing to him.
Yes, and I think I speak for all of us when I say Birdie would have gotten my vote.
Yes, same here. Actually, because it was him or Hillary that were the options, that was the only reason I even registered to vote.
Well, see, I filled out the paperwork to get my election ballot by mail. So I've got my ballot in front of me, and no, most ballots allow you to write in a candidate. So if you passionately hate the two options available to you, you could still technically write in Bernie Sanders, or, I mean, we could write in Core for President. And I personally, think your policies.
No. I think I'm better than both Hillary and Trump, but no, I don't want to run this country. No way.
Hey, I'll be your.
Yeah, you can take nothing.
6 months in, I'd just be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. I don't want it. No, thank you.
Hey, I'll
this
be
country,
your
I don't
president.
Care what happens anymore.
Hey, I'll be your vice president if you want.
You can trust me.
Pass you the reins and be like, here, just do whatever. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, president just to like 75% of your work is like making holidays in Camp David.
President Storm. Oh, that's got a nice ring to it, President Storm. It also kind of reminds me of, you know, President Snow from the Hunger Games. But hey, you know, why not?
You know,
I'm partially badass.
That would be a step forward for our country if we started doing Hunger Games, wouldn't it? We'd become stronger as a nation, allegedly.
Yes.
Again, I did not just say that on air.
How about bird games? Ooh, the bird games. Survival of the squawkiest.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That would be the silliest contest you can even,
What would the rewards be?
Life, not dying.
Oh, we got to give a little more than that. And I know what the punishments would be. One of them would be getting bird mites.
Oh, geez. How about this? How about we just vote each, like, once every 4 years, we just vote a state out of the union. Like, we're just, until we become one united, like, nation on its own, we just continuously vote a nation out of the union. My first
I've
vote.
Got the first one.
Florida.
Yeah, I got the first one. Yes. I would like to vote out God's Waiting Room.
Florida?
Yes.
The majority of careers down there are call center careers, but it's also the weirdest place on earth. If you ever go to Florida, it's weird.
The Florida man lives there.
People go to Florida to die. It's true. They go, they finish work, and they go there, and they sit and wait to die. That's why we call it God's Waiting Room.
I feel like everybody down there has, like, they have sunburnt, like, so bad that their brain is cooked.
Hey, except for the birds down there. They get a lot of fine cuisine to pick from.
The day we get carnivorous flamingos is the day we know we've stepped forward as a nation.
Carnivorous flamingo. Oh my gosh.
That would be terrifying. Have you ever seen a
flamingo that you thought was a fake statue and then suddenly it starts moving towards you?
No, I haven't.
Me neither.
I was in Las Vegas a few years ago and I was staying at the Flamingo Hotel.
Oh.
Yes, you know. And they have a lot of flamingos in the middle. And I thought it was this like garden, peace garden that you go out and relax and take a break from the smoke-filled gambling hysteria that the mafia wants you to do. So I'm out in this garden relaxing and alleged there's all these mafia flamingos. Yes, there's all these people standing around and all these flamingos standing around. And next thing you know, these mother cluckas start moving towards me and making these, and I thought it was a flamingo zombie invasion, and I ran out of there like I may or may not have been slightly intoxicated at the time, but the story is still true, I promise.
About a month ago, I actually was at, we have the Tracy Aviary here in Salt Lake City, and it's an amazing aviary. But they actually have a flamingo exhibit where, like, you can put your hand over the fence, and if the flamingos are so inclined, they'll, like, come up and, like, say hi to you, and you can feed them and whatnot. There was one flamingo that was just, like, so attached to my girlfriend. Like, it was just nuzzling her arm, and, like, she stuck her arm in there and was just petting it, and it was loving on her, and then at the end it tried to steal her bracelet.
Bird. Flamingos are really evil creatures.
It's just the bird agenda. All we want is shiny things.
No, I think it wanted to steal your girlfriend away. I think it was trying to cheat on you. Yeah. Then it puffed its flamingo feathers out and wanted to show how manly it was.
Well, it wasn't doing any of the displays, so who knows? Who knows what its true intentions were.
Though I'll tell you right now, ostriches are crazy motherfuckers.
Any flightless here's the thing about birds. Birds are assholes. They're just each assholes in their own different way.
Welcome to the Bird Chat, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Storm Griffin, and we are all assholes. Continue.
like woodpeckers demolishing houses. The isolation material.
That's why most houses in Germany are built out of concrete.
But we have most of our houses have that isolation. That's they pack holes in it, and it's like made from styrofoam or stuff. I don't know exactly, but yeah, it's very warm nesting material, I guess.
Aw.
Yeah. Yes, but does Angela Merkel approve?
Who? No, I don't know. I don't know.
The premier of Germany's name is Angela Merkel. She is the most badass woman planet Earth has ever had the privilege of knowing, next to Margaret Thatcher.
I never heard a statement to birds from Angela, but from Angie. But I know that she loves birds.
Aw, therefore we must love her then.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
on board.
There's a Telegram sticker where she's full of parrots or something, and yeah.
Coming soon, ladies and gentlemen, the official bird.life sticker pack. Keep an eye on Telegram for details.
I'm not fronting that one. I don't know who's... Are you running that?
Yeah. Storm withdraw.
Oh, I will happily help handle the logistics of those details.
Okay, you do that. Go ahead. I'm sitting here trying to arrange details with the massive bird commission that we're doing in Bird Chat right now. We have over 75 people have signed up for it, and I'm so grateful for that. But the logistics of it is just terrifying at this point.
Yeah.
Not really.
I know that.
Not really. You had everyone sign up, and we can put them wherever the hell we want, so...
I have a lot of faith in this artist. I'm way excited for it. She's so amazing as far as drawing birds goes. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I know your logistic problems because, I'm selling those shirts, and some people are like...
yes, When is the Bird Crew 2 shirt coming out?
I have to talk about that with Royalty, but I guess somewhere in November.
Some point in November. Okay, so everybody mark your calendars. Just circle the whole month of November.
the point is I don't want to send the shirts while everyone sends packages while Christmas, in the Christmas time, you know, because
in the
Christmas time, so many stuff gets lost.
Now, see, what Fleeks isn't telling you is the original Griffin shirt Fleeks made was more successful at increasing the profit margins of the German post office than it was of actually sending the shirts to their destination.
No, that is so true. Oh,
yeah,
tell that story?
I told the story already, but it seems like I still do not know why they sent all the shirts back to me. I still do not know. I freaking do not know, and I can't really explain it.
Okay. Regardless, what happened is he sent out all of these shirts that were ordered, and just like slowly, one by one, they all got returned to him.
Yeah.
So he has to send them again.
Yeah.
They were sent for not enough postage.
And most of the stamps weren't valid anymore after that.
Which is insane.
I don't know why. I really don't know why, but... And it all happened while I was at Euroference, and I couldn't do anything.
Oh,
poor Fleeks. I'd give you a wing hug right now if I could.
Wingy hugs. Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, pop quiz time. All right, see if you can guess this bird. This bird that I'm thinking of is constantly only ever hours away from starving to death.
A magpie.
Nope. It has the highest metabolic rate of any bird in the animal kingdom.
A hummingbird.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a very fast pulse, and it burns so much calories because it's always like flapping its wings, and it's almost ever in the air.
It's true. So their heart rate reaches 1,260 beats per minute.
So they constantly need to nibble on flowers.
Yep.
That's almost as high as my heart rate when I am doing adult things. Anyways, go on.
If your heart rate reaches 1,200 beats per minute, sir,
then Carl will come to put a syringe inside you and
oh, Carl wants to put something inside me. All right.
Winky, winky. Yes.
Oh my! No, yeah. No, we reached that level.
Oh my gosh! But what I don't understand, going back to you, Fleeks, and I'll leave it at this. But while the thoughts on my brain, going back to the shipping and basically the increasing the profit margins of the post office thing, is in the U.S. If the greedy bastards at the U.S. Postal Service decide you have not given them enough money, they will put a big, angry red stamp saying not enough postage due. And they'll tell you how much, and then they'll send the box back to you, and then you can take the package or box back to the post office and give, you know, the mafia more money. But they still keep your stamps that you already paid valid. So all you got to do is pay the difference. The fact that you had to pay from scratch again is... borderline blood-boiling rage fail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, it happened, and now I can't change it. So
it just reminds me of the scene in Harry Potter where, like, what was it? The Weasleys sent Harry a letter, and it, the whole letter itself, except for where they like put the address, was just covered in stamps. I think yeah, I'm the only Harry Potter lover here. Oh, damn it!
Yeah. No. And another thing that happened, another thing that happened with the Bird Crew shirt before. Really, all the Bird Crew shirts made it except of one. And you know what the USPS did? You know what it did?
What they did?
Obviously, it was ripped somewhere in America. It was ripped open. I don't know how that happened. I have really no idea. But instead of sending it to the one who ordered it, yeah, it came all the way back to me in an extra envelope, and there's written on board letter USPS, we care.
Yeah, oh, they put it in a we're sorry envelope. Oh my god, that is so the post office.
The ripped off. Without any shirt inside or something, there's just so in board letters, we care. USPS. Thank you, USPS. Thank you.
I feel what it sounds like is your package was investigated by the U.S. government as, you know, potential, like, you know, they wanted to see if there was something illegal being sent in the mail. And then because it was ripped open, it was only a shirt, they're like, oh, well, this is awkward. We'll just send it back to him.
But the shirt wasn't inside anymore.
The shirt was not in it?
No.
Oh my god!
They sent the empty package back to me, ripped in half, more or less.
Oh my god!
In an extra envelope where, yeah, like I said, in big letters, we care! We care!
We care so much we stole your shirt.
I don't know about when you send stuff here, but I know if I send stuff overseas using the post office, it automatically includes insurance up to, I'm guessing, $30 or $50. So you should be able to file an insurance claim for that.
No,
you really should call, you know, the CEO of your post office and, you know, poop in a cereal or something.
The only reason why I can send them that cheap is because they are not insured.
It would cost more.
It would cost a lot more if insured.
Well, you know, Fleeks, just so you know, I work. One of my clients is a promotional products company. So if you want to look at getting for your U.S. customers shirts made in the U.S., let me know.
Yeah, but they would have to ship it, and it would probably, the service alone would probably cost a lot, I guess.
No, not really. Yeah, talk to me later about that. But anyways,
I actually still have the package you sent the shirt in because you drew the little thing on it. So I saved that. I still have it. I love it.
I'm still waiting for my special little thing from Fleeks that he promised for me.
Aw.
he promised you'd do me something a little special. So I'm still waiting. I'm going to hold you to it, Fleeks. Woo, I'm starting to feel this booze.
I finished my Sam Adams. It's all gone. I'm sad.
Yeah, and I finished my Schillinger pills.
So you're all just trying to get me drunky, Griff. That's what.
Keep up, dude. Like, seriously.
How much?
I have a one quart bottle. You motherfuckers had a regular bottle.
No excuses.
How much ethanol contaminated?
Fleeks. Is that what you call it now? When I have fun with you, it's contamination.
You're an ethanol contaminated griffin.
Hey, I got to hate on you for a minute. With all this wonderful Birdania gear that we're pumping out, why no love for griffins? What the fuck? I mean, seriously.
He made the griffin shirt. He made a
griffin. Yeah, I made it. Extra for you, because all the griffins were like, oh, there's no griffin on the shirt. I buy it, but I'm very disappointed that there is no griffin on the shirt. And I was like, okay, griffins, yeah, you can have a shirt. Okay.
God, damn.
Then I made it. I made it for you.
Fleeks, tell me this. Are griffins not the whiniest bunch in the Bird Crew ever? Like,
yeah,
notoriously whiny.
Most of them. I would not generalize, but no.
I will happily generalize. Like they, it feels like to me like I, you know, we have the bird crew for, you know, everybody who's avian. If there's like a trace of avian in your species, you can come, you can join the bird crew, you can be part of a family. But for whatever reason, the griffins still feel cheated. Why is that?
It's because
there are members of the bird community that don't think griffins qualify as being bird because we're not purebloods. We have part, in my case, feline, or others have part canine, some have part dolphin. You know, griffins are very mixed creatures, so a traditional griffin is just called a bird kitty for a reason. And as such, you know, we want a little special something for ourselves and recognition. And when you all are, you know, pictures of all this avian greatness and you forget to include some members of your griffin family in it, you know, we're going to get a little squawky. Yeah. That's all.
You guys have whole video games based off of you. World of Warcraft. Yeah. You are the mass transport system of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but
everybody rides a griffin.
Oh yeah!
Do you know a game? Do you know games with Anthrobirds except some Disney video games?
I've played a few games that have Anthrobirds or Big Birds. Yeah,
actually, there is an upcoming bird game. Like it seems like I forgot its name, but Time of Birds or something. Have you heard about that?
Yes, that one is the... Oh, shoot. It's on Tumblr. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm so
it's
hyped for it.
It's on Tumblr and Twitter, yeah. I want to have it, too. I want to stack birds. That's...
It's a low-poly independent video game being produced by... oh, God, what's his name? Time for Birds.
Time for Birds, yeah. Thank you very much. And recently, he implanted bird kisses.
Oh, my God. I love this guy.
Not Time for X Factor, Time for Birds, please.
Time for Birds. Well, I'll give you some Time for Birds, all right. Oh yeah.
And the producer of that is a really funny guy, I think. I often comment on his stuff on Twitter. And what was that? Okay, I often I communicate with him a bit, and yeah, he seems like a very fun guy. And I guess he will make a great game.
He's a huge sweetheart.
So every bird should follow every bird that likes bird games or yeah. Again, already if you like birds, follow Time for Birds on Twitter or on Tumblr.
Yes, yes, yes. Definitely do that.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to look up the individual producer's name. So one sec.
If you are a member of the Birdanian flock, you are hereby commanded to play this game.
It's a requirement at this point.
Yeah, quite a lot of our birds in the bird crew even have like custom avatars, like custom icons from that guy.
Yes, I think please post more information about him. I'm curious now. Though he may not accept me because I'm not a pure bird. Bastard.
Yeah, there are no griffins in that game, I think.
Petition to keep griffins out of the Time for Birds game.
But he promised me woodpecker in the game. So
he's gonna give you a woodpecker and he won't put a griffin in.
Hey, just requests a griffin then. Maybe he will put it in.
No, maybe. I'm gonna specifically request he not.
Oh, you all are evil mother cluckers.
Yeah.
He's now you're getting a taste of what we griffs have to deal with on a daily basis. This is bullshit.
But yes, it's time, all one word, Time for Birds on Tumblr.com. So
yeah, and on Twitter if you do not use Tumblr because for reasons, I don't know.
Because SJWs.
For example, yeah. But let's not talk about them.
I think there's a good balance of equality here. We have myself, we have Fleeks, and then we have a griffin as part of the show. I think we have reached our diversity quota.
Yeah, for the show. No, we chose
two birds for every one griffin. That's the diversity quota.
Yeah, that's the Griffin quota, the cat butt quota. Because you have to take into consideration that you're half a bird. So it's practically two and a half bird on one half cat.
And see, the requirement to be in part of the bird crew is that you have to be 33% bird. Only 33%. That's generous. You are at least 50% bird.
Yeah, I am. I have a bird brain after all.
He's, I guarantee by the like episode 5, he's going to be like, Griffin Lives Matter.
Hey, we also let reverse Griffins in the bird crew, yeah? Like, sometimes they only have a bird tail.
Hey, there are a wide variety of Griffins. Some have avian tails, some have a feline tail and avian tail. Some have feathers on the end of their feline tail. So it's a lot of beautiful variety with Griffin.
Exactly, that's the 33% requirement.
I can accept wings on the back, but somehow I really can't accept I can accept it too, but mostly when they have bird tail and cat tail or whatever mammal they are mixed in. it looks strange to me.
What confuses me is anthrogriffins, the ones who stand on 2 feet. And so they're you have your wings on the back, you have arms in the front, you have your legs as well. That gives you 6 appendages. You are at that point an insect. You're a bug. You're 2 legs away from being a spider.
So explain TARS.
Spiders. End of story.
The thing is, I don't know why they did it, but biologists looked at if griffins could be really existing, yeah? And they came to the conclusion, no.
All right, well, I'm going to go piss in your Cheerios and say that there's some debate on that topic, number one, just like those same biologists came to that same conclusion about whether dragons could exist, and they are full of shit, in my opinion. But another thing is with regards to your anthro statement about 6 limbs being off the charts, even in a feral griffin, okay, a traditional griffin, you have the 2 wings on the back, and then you have your 4 talons and hind paws. You have your 4 paws and hind talons, depending on the griffin. I tend to prefer the talons being up front, but that's just me. That is still technically 6 appendages, but that works fine if you think about it naturally. And if you are dealing with birds that are anthro, they also have 6 appendages.
Normal birds, we have like the wings on our arms. Like I have fingers. Fingers.
Yeah, that works. Fingers.
Not everyone has wingers. I have seen it show you. Not
Let's call it. Angel anatomy. A lot of birds have
like bat anatomy, because a lot of bats I've seen also have like the bats built in, the wings built into their arms.
Then we have the bat anatomy, and then like my character, that harpy anatomy with the wing hands. Yeah,
I got the fingers going on, so Fleeks and I are on the same page here.
No,
but as far as like the only reason like I don't consider like non-fair. No, sorry. The only reason I don't consider feral griffins like insects as well is because, well, they've been around since like Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we're older than you. So, ha.
You're not older than birds. You're based off of birds.
Excuse me. It's the other way around. Birds are based off of griffins. So we're lions.
Right.
We came first.
Yes. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, but griffins died out because they always, when they try to fly, they rip their rib cage out of their body.
What?
Yeah. Physics.
If you have your wings attached to your back, and then you fly that heavy cat half bird body, you bring it in the air. You need so much force; it would rip out your ribcage.
They explain.
I want someone to do the math for me here. Like, I want someone to calculate how much a hippogriff would weigh. Keep in mind, that is a half bird or half griffin, half horse. So granted, they're going to weigh a lot. What would the wingspan on a hippogriff have to be just to get that horse butt off the ground?
Well, there is a mathematical formula. And I know for the formula calculated for myself for Storm, see, you got to realize griffins don't have solid bones. They actually have skeleton, like the bones, the inside are
hollow bones.
Skeletons. So they're hollow.
I'm not questioning griffins. I'm not questioning griffins here. It's hippogriffs specifically with massive fat horse butts.
Okay. Well, with hippogriffs, I know with regular griffs to compare to hippogriffs, okay? Regular griffs are not meant to fly long distances because we're too heavy. Hippogriffs, because of their, you know, equine ass, can't even fly short distances very long. So I would say, based on a Clydesdale or a horse than that. I know, think about it. A griffin crossed with a Clydesdale. That's going to be a big fucking griffin. That would probably have to have at least, what, a 45-foot wingspan? 60-foot? It's got to be massive.
You know, it would have to be like the size of a 747, like jetliner, man.
I think one thing they could do is like turning their tail like a chopper, and that supports the
tail like a chopper.
Helicopter griffins.
Like a helicopter. Yeah.
Storm, do me a favor, please. Do not helicopter griffin for us right now, okay?
I've got my my math whiz dragon working out the calculations for the wingspan right now.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, now you see, now we're coming to the science part of our
We already have bird life interns on episode one. That is fantastic.
All right, Drezel, our intern dragon, what is the...
For an anthro character, you would need about 3 times the wingspan per foot of height.
Okay.
And that's keeping the weight down. Like, your character at 9 feet tall,
right,
is about 500 to 600 pounds,
right?
And they have about a 24 to 30 foot wingspan.
Okay, so now for a hippogriff that's feral,
a feral hippogriff, considering that a horse weighs about what, 1400 pounds,
about half a ton, yeah.
If you cross it and optimize it through mythological, zoological means, I would probably put that at around 900 pounds at best.
Right.
And you'd probably need a good 45 to 55 foot wingspan.
Good Lord.
Riding a horse down a 4-lane highway.
Right.
Where no one can pass you because you're just being a douchebag.
Just wingspread. You know, at this point, it would be easier for evolution to, like, strap rockets to a horse.
Can I have
more likely than an actual hippogriff to ever exist?
Can you convert all the American the imperial measurements in a metric system for me?
Aww.
Oh, hey, Fleek, you're just going to get...
I'm just kidding, right?
Hey, you've got Google. Just punch that shit into Google and you'll get your own answers real quick.
I can type as fast as you science here, yeah.
Can't type as fast as I science. Okay, let's see. All right. Okay.
No, you don't need to do that. I was just kidding. I have an idea of the proportions, okay?
All right, 45 feet would be almost 14 meters wide.
Yeah.
All you have to do is picture four semi-trucks next to each other.
I know that about 3 feet is 1 meter. That's good enough. But you should really think about becoming president in the USA and put the metric system as standard.
Oh, if we're going to talk about that for a minute, I'll tell you right now, I think the imperial died a long time ago. There are parts of the U.S. that fucking have kilometers per hour. Little sections where the government was testing this road signs.
Oh.
They calculated the cost. This is true. This is true. 100% true. The U.S. started to go metric in the 70s. But once the government calculated the cost of replacing all of our road signs, they said, fuck this shit, and gave up. Because it was going to be in the billions with a B.
Oh.
No, it's true. So there's only three countries in the entire world that actually use the imperial system anymore. And that is Liberia, Myanmar, or formerly Burma, and the United States of America. And yeah, as far as countries go, like, we're the only ones that, like, are a legitimate, like, nation.
Well, we're kind of responsible for Liberia, but yeah, it's...
True.
It's pretty embarrassing. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a member. That's pretty shitty. Good lord.
You're a scientist? I'm
not against learning the metric system at this point.
Yeah, your scientists are already using the metric system because it's easier to handle for science stuff.
We have to
learn the metric system in school. All of our bottles, if you go and buy any form of food in the United States, it has both the imperial system and metric system on its label, especially liquids.
I'm looking at my bottle of Sam Adams Oktoberfest here, and all I have is 12 fluid ounces. I don't think ounces is metric, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. That's weird, but my bottle here...
Liters of metric.
One quart, and I've got 32 fluid ounces.
I don't have that at all.
My beer has the conversion of 1 gallon to so many liters on the label, whatever the fuck it is. I'm not going to go to my fridge because I'm lazy. But it's in there. I'm an American Griffin. Forget it. If I have to get up and walk out of my nest, forget it.
my beer has just the liters, and it's 0.33 liters. And that's a small beer bottle. Normally, our beer bottles are in half a liter.
Fleeks, you struck me as a 1 liter minimum.
Yeah, I'm a Bavarian. I should... I'm still not even tipsy from that small beer, but it's the only beer I have.
You're drinking improperly. I'm trying to actually get shit-beaked on you guys, and you motherfuckers have run out of booze already.
Okay. Yeah. So for next week, I'll be prepared. I will make sure that I have a liter ready to go.
Hey, Core, you really need to get better at using lube. I'm serious. Raw, ugh. That's so 1980s, man.
But
I was just gonna say, like, you know what? Just start off with a nice rim job, and we're gonna be fine.
Start with a nice. No. It's called a beak job. But okay. Oh, actually, no. Rim jobs would still work. Yeah, I mean that would. Though, but see, birds in general can't really give blowjobs. What we do is we give throat jobs.
Beak jobs. So yeah, that's why they actually invented
stomach jobs.
That's why they actually invented, we've invented the beak guards. That way we can give beak jobs more pleasantly. But really, it's just our throat that's doing all the work.
This episode of Bird Life has been brought to you by Beak Sheath.
Beak Sheath. Available now at your local Walmart. No, wait, scratch that. We have not signed the distribution agreement yet. No, it's not. It is not available.
Oh my God. So there's actually I just for fun, I Googled it. There is actually a page on Wikifur for Beak Sheath.
What?
Yes. I'll just read it. A beak sheath is a fictional, hypothetical device for anthropomorphic avians. The device, as put forward by Nekogami, would allow avians and other beaked individuals to perform, among other activities, oral sex on another partner while reducing the chance of injury on the partner's genitalia. The sheath would do so by covering the sharp serrations on the tomia of both the top and bottom beak, forming with form-fitting polymer lips.
Are you fucking kidding me?
This has been featured in quite a few pieces of art, if I remember, especially by Nekogami.
Oh.
Well, I know I have one saved that's pretty hot that features a beak sheath.
So we are knowing the AD part of our glorious cast.
We have now entered the After Dark portion of our chat. I'm your host, Storm Griffin, and this is Dumb and Dumber.
Hey.
Welcome to the Bird Chat, or Bird Life, as we like to call it.
As I'm sure you've noticed, like this podcast is not for kids. If you're under 18, tune out now. You're not allowed to listen to this. Why are you?
Yes, here? Tune out now. After the entire show's over.
Yes, please. As we're actually coming upon the wrap up portion, tune out now. Don't come back.
When you will listen this podcast under 18, the birds will tell your mom.
We'll text her. We'll do it.
Yes, we're going to find out who your mom is.
We'll tell her we had a nice night last night, but you need to actually also tune off of the show.
After we finish having fun with your mom in bed.
Yes, yes. Because we're not above mom jokes at this point.
No.
I guess go ahead. Okay. All right, hey, final statements. Does anyone want to say a final statement before we go?
Sign-off phrases. We haven't even thought of any clever sign-off phrases yet. Damn it. We are not ready for this podcast.
Damn it. So goodbye, birds, and
good night and big balls. No, wait, that's not a cast.
Remember, always beeping.
Always be beeping. Yes, that's a good one.
Always beep, 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 beeping. Beep. Okay. And then and now it fades out to the outro. Or so whatever you have.
Was that your impersonation of dubstep?
Yeah. What the hell is that?
What? So it couldn't be that bad.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
That was absolutely atrocious. Oh my god.
I think that's the perfect point to sign off. All right. Good night, everybody.
I'm not a parrot.
8 through 6, and then 7, 8, and 9, and then I had sexy noises.
Somebody's dying.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then I had the 4 years of the three.
So, what?
Okay,
what?
Oh, I have no idea what just happened there. I think Storm was losing his stomach.
That is not me. That is my damn dragon in the house trying some beer from Elephant. And trying not to pass out. Get a damn back, and you're making a mess.
Where? So everywhere. We had
our first episode. We had a guest listener vomit. Oh, good show, guys. Good show.
Yeah, wonderful.